Hello, welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. I'm Steve Martin, your host for 3 hours of the best bluegrass across the generations, combining conversation with the legends and those becoming. I'm pretty sure that Dale Ann Bradley has already skipped over the becoming part and is, in fact, a legend. And you think about this alone. She is the winner, five-time winner of the IBMA Female Vocalist of the Year in Bluegrass. She's been nominated a couple other times. And as a matter of fact, this year, 2017, she is nominated again as Female Vocalist of the Year and has a couple other, at least one other nomination for Emerging Artist. Dale Ann Bradley is going to be my guest in the second hour of the program. She has a brand new album about to release. The name of it is Dale Ann Bradley. It's on Pinecastle. Coming up next, our visit with Dale Ann Bradley, which I think you're really going to enjoy. I know that you will. And I know if you're listening to this program, you know what's coming. Thank you so much, Dale Ann Bradley, in advance. Well, I'm really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass for the first time, Dale Ann Bradley. How are you, Dale Ann?
I am doing great. Doing great.
It sounds like you're having fun. We were chatting a little bit off the air and just kind of getting our perspective of what we're going to do, and I enjoyed that almost as much as I hope we're going to enjoy what we record for the people listening in.
Oh, well, I enjoyed it too, and I knew this was going to be a great interview and great conversation.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Dale. The reason that we wanted to chat, lots of reasons, but the most, not urgent, but you have a brand new album, Dale Ann Bradley on Pinecastle, that's coming. Is it out yet, or is it just, is it ready to drop? Do you know?
It will be August 18th.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Well, good timing. Dale Ann Bradley, you have, before we leave this conversation, we'll talk about the members of the band. We'll talk about the album itself and anything else that we want to talk about, because that's the way it works. I've been listening and listening and listening. And I'll say this, there are 11 cuts on the album. If a listener has never heard Dale Ann Bradley sing, I would suggest this. Listen to Southern Memories, the first song on the album, and that will get you the full depth and breadth of what Dale Ann Bradley does to a lyric. And they're all great songs, but I'm telling you, if they've never heard you, listen to Southern Memories, and that will get you why, and explain to the listener why Dale Ann Bradley is so recognized and awarded an IBMA Female Vocalist of the Year so many times. That song, to me, if you have never heard her, then you'll say, oh, now I get it.
Oh, you don't know. That means a great deal to me, because that song is mighty special.
Well,
and it's the way it was written and when it was written, and the whole story of the song.
Well, let's talk a little bit about it then. You know the story.
Well, you know, of course, growing up down here in the mountains of southeastern Kentucky and coal mining and hard shell Baptist. Of course, that's the double meaning is in the song, the hard shell cases,
mm-hmm.
Hard shell cases, and as far as the guitar cases, and then hard shell cases as far as hard shell Baptist.
I caught that lyric.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was 14, and a young man that I grew up with that lived in the same community I did that co-wrote the song, we wrote that song. I was maybe 14. He was probably 16 or 17, I would say.
Oh, you wrote, you wrote it that long ago?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we sure did. And okay. I always wanted to get to do something with it, and had lost track, you know, how you grow up and you have your family and work and leave Kentucky most of the time, or at least our part of Kentucky. And he did that, and I did as well. And last year, he passed away, and I hadn't got to talk to him. And of course, he didn't have any idea that I was, you know, going to record our song. But his family, of course, knows and everything. But it was just special because that was our story together growing up, you know, religiously and spiritually and, geographically.
Yeah.
So, you know, we loved where we were from and had similar stories. And so that was one of the first things that I wrote.
Well, it does, and maybe I was more accurate than I thought when I didn't know the full story behind it. But when I said, if you've never heard Dale Ann Bradley, now you can listen to Southern Memories, and you also know the origin of it, and that it does bring back a lot of those all those things peculiar to to your growing up and as the framework you've set it in. I thought it was a gorgeous song, but now it makes so much more sense to me now. I appreciate you filling that
in. Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, I appreciate everybody, you know, playing it and listening to it, and I'm sure that whatever, you know, where you're from demographically, that, you know, everybody's got very similar stories. It really doesn't matter. It's all a heart story and a longing of the heart and remembering what your roots are, which is so important. It's so important.
Well,
to know where you came from.
This new album, which is the title was Dale Ann Bradley on Pinecastle. It certainly pulls from a lot of your memories and a lot of your roots, and we're going to talk about some of those songs in a minute. But there's no denying when you hear this album that it's not touching Dale Ann Bradley's heart as she's recording and singing it. I think these things are pretty personal to you.
They are, and you always, you know, when you put your heart and your soul on the line anytime that you make an album, because it's open to acceptance, it's open to criticism, it's you know, it's very very precious, you know, and so I'm always honored to have the opportunity to do it, and I really do put my heart on the line with every album. It might be, in reality, might be a little dangerous, you know, because, you know, to put all the personal feelings.
Yeah, here
and,
I am.
Yeah,
well,
experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I grew up poor and you know, here's my religion and all this and or the religion I was grew up in.
Sure.
So, but I'm thankful if anybody, you know, relates to what I sing, and because that's the big picture of it. Music is such a healer. It really is.
It is, and you want to communicate. You want to get your message across. You want people to have feelings evoked by the songs and the melodies that you're singing, and I think that's what you do so well with it in all of your music, Dale. And I mean, this is the latest, and it's going to be one of the greatest, but great music you've put out and so much great entertainment. And I think everybody that hears you, I've seen you many times and has not spoke to you before, gets the feeling right away that these are very close and personal to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The talking about memories, Blackberry Summer, I don't always go directly in line, so we'll skip down to Blackberry Summer. That fits right within that same, I don't know if you were 14 when you had these memories. I'm not saying you wrote the song or participated in that, but certainly Blackberry Summer fits right into that whole feeling of those memories as a child. I mean, that takes me back, and I didn't have that detailed of an experience. I spent a lot of time in a family farm when I was a child, and I relate to some of those, but Blackberry Summer is just, boy, that's just right there walking down the dusty road.
Oh, I think if you grew up in the South, blackberries was definitely something that was your dietary schedule.
Yeah. And you didn't you didn't waste the opportunity.
Yeah, and the last thing you would hear when you'd take your milk jugs is, better watch for copperheads.
That's right.
Because they would... And they were so abundant.
Yeah.
You know, they were all over the place. And now they're not, you know, but blackberries were. And, oh, you'd come back and with all these blackberries and as many as you and your cousins could carry. Yeah, and you'd, you know, rinse them. And then you'd, you know, you'd make the jam. And the big thing was blackberry cobbler.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
And... So my grandmother, she was baking. She was just really good. She was a good cook, but baking was her thing. She could really make a cobbler, and the crust on it was just amazing. So, you know, that was a big treat. You know, blackberries.
You know, it's interesting.
And then, you know,
it's interesting that you mentioned cousins. I mean, to cut you off, but I can tell you, I saw all of my cousins at this one farm that I'm thinking of, and it wasn't unusual. And that's probably the basis of my memories in childhood. 90% of my cousins on that side of the family is at the farm. And we didn't live there. It's just something that kind of, yeah, you're there with your cousin. When you mention it, I you're helping me pull back memories, too.
You know, and your cousins, if you're like me during the time that we were growing up, especially in Kentucky, they were siblings.
Absolutely.
It didn't matter if he's a second or third cousin, because for generations, that's the way it had been. Your parents were like siblings, and you know, then you were children of siblings, and so you you were very just as close to them as you were your brothers and sisters.
And do you find this too, that it might be, you know, people move away, and in my situation, some of them move, and or we just get separated in our families. But if you see them 20 years later, as soon as you see them, you're right back there on that dusty road, and you're still kids again. I've always said that when I run into my cousins. I mean, it's just like, oh, we're here, we are again. We look different, but if we don't look in the mirrors, we're just the same kids walking around on a dirty road somewhere.
You are so right, and for that instant that you're seeing them again, like you said, doesn't matter how long it's been, you go right back to being young.
Yep.
It's like a little spring, you know, that kind of gives your spirit a drink of water there.
And, that's a good description.
And you'll walk away feeling good 90% of the time, you know. But that, yeah, that's the way I've always felt. And you lose contact, you know, you lose contact with them, but you never forget them.
Oh gosh, no. And goodness, if you lose one from your family of their cousins, it's like it's so grievous. I mean, it's just it is. You realize then you hit it right. They're like siblings. They're like siblings from those days.
Yes.
I don't know if that still exists today, but I experienced that thing thankfully, and. And I could walk in on them today, and we'd be right back there in that time again. So that the Blackberry Summer, I think, is what got started on this. But those are precious memories, and I thank you for putting those into the album and singing it so well.
When I'd heard the song, went back into one of my files. I didn't write it. I wish I had it. But went back into some of my files and was just re-listening, and I could not believe that song had not... kind of come to the forefront, and I'm sure it was just an oversight on my part, but it just really, it blessed me, you know, and it was like you say, it was just a precious, precious memory.
And then I'm skipping back a little bit too for what I have as the fifth cut down on the album, because we're going to talk a little bit about Kentucky and a little bit of being proud of Kentucky. We're allowed to do this, but the fifth cut is going back to Kentucky, and that to me is as personal to you as any song on the album, and we're going to talk a little bit about some award you just recently got. We've talked about your IBMA stuff a little bit, but that song to me it seems like you're just singing it. You're thinking that as you're driving back home or getting back home.
You were so correct. I'll tell you, grew up here, like I said, in southeastern Kentucky, and lived most of my life in central Kentucky, and raised my son there. Then I went to Nashville, and any time I've ever been away from this part of Kentucky or Kentucky itself, I've literally pined for it, you know. And but that song, Mark Brinkman sent me that song. I just maybe a week before we went in the studio,
really?
And and I was still choosing those last couple of tunes, you know, and it just hit me, because I even had a Dodge truck.
Did you really?
Yes, and so it's very autobiographical, I guess.
Well, you know, Brink writes great songs, and he always has that touch.
Yes,
but
he does.
I almost get the feeling that if you were actually, or the singer of the song, let's say even you in particular, as you're driving to get closer to home, don't those that pining feeling and don't those worries kind of melt off, and you can just kind of feel them as you get closer to that street that you start, you know, you're home again. That's the way I feel about those things.
It's like filling up a bucket of water.
It really
is.
Exactly.
And you're so absolutely right about that. You know, you get close to the little road that you're going to turn off of and go up the holler or whatever, and it's just like an empty bucket that's being filled with cold water.
That's a great description. You really do a great job on the song. And then let's talk a little bit about the because Kentuckians are allowed to be proud together. And in between you and I setting this up, you were and you will be inducted into the Kentucky Music Hall of Fame next year, I think 2018. That had to be an absolute thrill.
Oh, I know, and I don't want this to, because it's not a cliche saying. When I received the call, I laughed and cried. It was it meant so much to me just to be, you know, just to be with other Kentuckians, because Kentucky has been just blessed with such heart and soul singers and musicians. I mean, there's so many good ones all over the world. But I'm so proud of so many, of everybody, that, you know, from Kentucky, because the story is one that everybody's story is similar in the fact that you never thought maybe that you would have the opportunity to share your music or to share what talent that you had, whether it's building or, you know, anything. You really didn't know if you were going to be able to share that with the rest of the world just due to the isolation, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
That was there when I was growing up. So I know the road that each one of those have has been on to do what they love and what they were called to do. I know that those roads are similar, and they were none of them easy.
You're going to be, is it May? Did you tell me May of 2018 will be the ceremony?
It is May the 11th, 10th or 11th,
and that, isn't that right down, isn't that property right down next to Renfro Valley, the barn?
The actual museum is, and it is gorgeous, and it's just something that if you're coming through there, you need to stop and see. It's just really something else, and the ceremonies will be held in Somerset.
Okay.
And you're from neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's right.
That
yeah.
you're from.
That's right.
Yeah, and so I'm real excited and about it, you know, and very an humbled feeling. Yes.
Are you working on your words?
Oh my goodness! No, I just hope I don't have a bad hair day, which is probably going to be the case. I don't have many good hair days.
I would love to find. I'm going to put that on my calendar. If I forgot the day, I'm going to try to run down. I would love to be present.
I would love that.
That would be so much fun.
I would love for you to be.
I would love, and I get to see. And when we talked off the air about my connection to Somerset and my mother, and there's still, I know streets and stuff down there, but I'm going to try, I'm going to put that down on my, and I'll think about it too before then, but I'm so proud of you.
Oh, please do.
I'm so proud of you for that.
Oh, honey, well, I'm proud of you too, and
well,
we should lift each other up, you know.
Absolutely.
Anytime that, so when something encouraging and something good happens for somebody, we should be happy for each other, because... You know, it's that's just the way it should be, I think, for the whole human race, you know.
I look, Dale,
we lift each other up.
I look at it this way. If you take the energy to put somebody down, and I'm not saying you do that, then you should take that much energy times 10 to lift somebody up.
Exactly.
You know?
Because that's so much more productive and to the whole world.
Yeah.
And it's what our Maker wants us to do.
I think
too,
you're right.
You know,
you have two songs on here that you mentioned your Maker, that are all of your songs have a spiritual feel to them, whether the lyrics say it or not. I get the spiritual nature that you have and you put into your music. But two of the songs on this new Dale Ann Bradley album, which will be out on Pinecastle soon, One More River and then the acapella Stand By Me, are clearly spiritual gospel songs.
Well, I love. I like to call them all spiritual songs. I seem to want to gravitate to songs that are just what we were talking about, uplifting, and songs of hope and strength and of love, because, you know, I don't like to do preachy, judgmental songs, because, you know, I feel like it's... That we need strength and hope.
You say that well.
More.
You're right.
Well, it's just what rings with my soul, you know. But the One More River to Cross is more of a Pentecostal song, and I've enjoyed so much music, you know. Here in the mountains, there's so many. Well, when I was growing up, there were so many denominations in the same community, you know. And we were raised Primitive Baptist, hard shell, and there wasn't any musical instruments. I loved that a cappella thing, and it was just like what Ralph Stanley had grown up on, you know.
Yeah.
And so I learned a whole lot by that, and I loved that, but I'd kind of like to sneak off down the road and sit on the rock and listen outside to the Pentecostal service, too, and I loved that. So... That's kind of the two things that the two denominationally oriented music that I heard a lot of on the radio, on the radio shows, and, you know, in the community, too, would be those two denominations.
You you have some guests. I want to make sure we get all the members of the regular band, but you have guests helping you out on some of these vocals. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Oh, everybody else put their heart and soul into this, too, and Vince Gill was good enough
to
sing with me on a Ralph and Carter Stanley song, I Just Think I'll Go Away,
mm-hmm.
and he picked the song. We were looking for songs, and we had spoke on the phone, and he said, I've got an idea, and I listened to see what you think about this. And he mentioned the song and how he would like to structure it, and I thought, well, I can't think of anything any better than that. That just made me happy, and so he was good enough to do that, and it was on my bucket list, and because I think he's so talented and such a good man too. He's such a wonderful person.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't know him, but I hear that.
Oh well, he loves bluegrass and respects everybody so much, and. Then I had my lifelong buddies, Steve Gully and Debbie Gully and Vic Graves. I'm from the Cumberland Gap
mm-hmm.
area where Tennessee and Virginia and Kentucky meet in my yard.
Do they?
Yeah. So I had played music with Steve for so long, and we've traveled together. And of course, his wife Debbie is a Kentuckian, and Vic Graves is a dear friend of ours that's so talented. And I wanted that mountain church house singing, you know, that just was just rear back and sing. And so that was a song we sang in the Primitive Baptist Church, Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sang it exactly like I heard it and felt it. And you know, on the other harmonies, I had Tina Adair, who's in Sister Sadie, too, and has traveled with her own band. Such a phenomenal vocalist. And enjoy singing with her so much. And she and Steve sang some harmony. And then she and Kim Fox, who's one of the smoothest, best tone vocalists that you're going to hear anywhere. And so that made up all the harmony. I think I sang one cut, sang kind of harmony to myself.
I thought you did.
I kind of wanted to do one at least.
What song was that? Our Last Goodbye?
Now and Then, Dreams Too Come.
Oh, okay, all right. I at the bottom I have a question about it. My handwriting's not great, but I thought that might have been you singing behind yourself. And well, we have.
That's okay.
We didn't touch on the second cut, Champagne Lady, which is you're in the swamps in Kentucky as you're talking. It's kind of it's a little bit of a Cajun beat to it, and I like it just fine. I didn't mean to skip over it. I just kind of bounce around different things as they come to me. But Champagne Lady is the second cut on this new Dale Ann Bradley album, which is just a fine, fine cut in and of itself. I don't know where it fits in the scheme of things, but it's a good song. I love it listening to it.
Well, I've known about that song for years. It's kind of obscure. Lenny LeBlanc, who now writes a lot of gospel material, but LeBlanc and Carr, people may remember them from the 70s. They had a huge hit called Falling. And I got to researching his music way years ago and was a big fan of his writing and singing. And that song always kind of was right there in the mental files, you know, and always waiting for the opportunity for each one to kind of fall into place, you know. And I'd started out on this album. I thought maybe that I would go in the direction of make it a geographical album and do songs about different states or different regions.
Oh, okay.
And I'd never done a theme-oriented album.
Mm-hmm.
And started out with that idea, and it kind of progressed into something different. But that song just kind of stayed right in there, you know. And the band loved it, and the girls that sang on it, Tina and Kim, they loved it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I do too. So
that
let's just
good.
Record
that's
it. Good. I've never done a Louisiana song, I don't think.
Well, it's a good one. You picked out a good one. Then, right sort of in the middle of this, and we might have touched on one of these. You put a couple tearjerkers in here, Dale Ann. If you were mine to lose, which is I have as a waltz tempo, then Our Last Goodbye, Those get a little bit of sad.
Oh, I know. Their Last Goodbye is my favorite Stanley Brothers song, and I know we've got two of them on there, but yeah, I just love them, and everybody in this part of the country, of course, all over the world too, but especially, you know, here, have always loved them, and I don't know how nobody will ever beat them, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that was just one that I really enjoy singing, and wanted to put that one on there. And so Just to Know You Were Mine to Lose, of course, Conway, you know, had done that so many years ago, and I'd actually heard Connie Smith do it.
Oh, I did not.
And I love those traditional country songs. They go right hand in hand.
Oh, sure.
With bluegrass. You know, they used to travel together, bluegrass acts and
sure.
country acts, and share the Billboard chart.
Well, the Osmond brothers spent several years with Merle Haggard.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, remember they'd go out with, Charlie Pride, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So that's, if you want to hear that kind of music, traditional country, bluegrass is a venue that you're probably going to, you're going to be satisfied with that then, you know.
So, yeah.
And I love it so well, and the instrumentation and everything lends itself. So I thought it was, something I wanted to do.
Well, you did a good job, and really, you know, I opened it up by saying if you've never heard Dale Ann's voice and the way she really handles a lyric, I say listen to Southern Memories. And I would say that, though, and I meant that. If you only had one song, and this is you want to hear her, but all these songs, your vocals are so. I think that has to be the reason that you get so much attention, and why people like Vince Gill can say, "We'll say let's do this together." You draw that in because there's so much emotion in what you sing, and you're a good singer. Let's not sell that short. You have a great voice, but you put so much of your heart into all of these songs on the new one, and always have.
Well, I appreciate you saying that because I do, just simply because our music is, like I say, it's a healer. It's a, we need it like we do water and air.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, water and air and food.
Yeah, well, I agree.
And, yeah, it's so important. And so when I just sing, I automatically don't think about going to these places in the song or going, whether they're different states or emotionally different places, but I kind of do, you know. I kind of just, I love the words and really kind of go along with the journey that the song's on.
This Is My Year for Mexico, kind of a, not quite a breakup, but it's anticipating that somebody's going to be leaving soon. A little bit of fun with that one.
That's true, and that fell into the original concept of the album.
Yeah,
and
right.
But I love that one too. That was one we all grew up on, and it's fun. It's fun, you know, and I think so many people can identify with that happening in their relationship. And if it does, maybe a song like that can reinstate people or you know. So hopefully it's it'll be fun and a good thing.
Let's talk about what I would consider to be the members of. On this album, I know you have a lot of guests, but let's talk about the other musicians and the people lending their efforts to this. And then I want to talk about the last cut, Now and Then Dreams Do Come True. But can you go through some of the musicians you have regularly with you?
Yes. At the time, we were in transition of banjo players. And Greg Davis played the banjo tracks on it. Mike Sumner travels with me now and played on the previous album. But Greg Davis did except on the Blackberry Summer, and Allison Brown guested on that. Oh, she's a genius.
She
of course, I was so
genius.
Fortunate. Oh, she is. I was so fortunate to have her produce three for Compass, and I learned so much from her and in so many different ways. So she was the guest on the Blackberry Summer, and then Greg Davis did all of the tracks, I think, except the Our Last Goodbye. Charlie Cushman played on that.
Yeah, good
the mandolin player that travels with me, Scott Powers, who's from the Tennessee side of the Cumberland Mountain Tunnel, he played on several tracks, and Casey Campbell, an up-and-coming mandolin player that you're going to hear a whole lot from. played mandolin on a lot of the songs too. Deanie Richardson put the fiddle on there, and of course she and Tina are in the band Sister Sadie with, yes, along with myself.
Yeah.
Deanie is Deanie's just one of those players that she understands the singer and the content of the song. Working with the singers that she's worked with, you know, like Vince Gill and Patti Loveless, and so when you're gonna pay attention to the lyrics, those two singers. So, and she has so much, I don't know, just heart and soul. Just she puts her heart on the line too, and so I was so thrilled to get to record with her because I hadn't since the New Concrete Girl days, you know.
Yeah. Well, and here you are, reemerging with Sister Sadie again. You're emerging
with
again.
Sister Sadie. Yeah, it's that kind of just found its place too, and we're enjoying that so well. Yeah. And but at the time, Greg Blaylock was playing dobro in my band.
I
played all
you.
The
thanks
dobro.
For, yeah, thanks for coming.
No. But now Matt Ledbetter is in
sure,
the band.
Sure, Phil's.
Phil's boy.
Yeah, that's right.
And so Greg did some wonderful playing on it.
That's
and
great.
Tim Dishman played all the bass, and he plays in my band and has for, I guess, 3 years or so, and sings harmony with me on stage, and he is such a phenomenal bass player, and he played a lot of the guitar, the lead guitar on the album, too, and so he's just wonderful.
Oh, it's very well done.
And on the Blackberry Summer, Deanie put some mandola on it along with the fiddle.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's about everybody that we have.
That's pretty good. And you have a website. If people wanted to find out where you're going to be and how to get a hold of this album, and of course it's on Pinecastle, but you have to have a website. I know you do. I looked at it, so I always let everybody say where they can find you.
They made it real easy. It's daleann.com.
It's easy. Oh, that is easy. And the last cut on the album is, and I think this is true, hopefully, for lots of people. I think it certainly is for you. Now and then, dreams do come true. I mean, I think we're just talking about that things do come around. That's another great song to end it up on.
Well, I thank you again. I co-wrote that with John Weisberger. He actually came up here, just to do some writing, and I had that song about half finished, and John put the finishing touches on it, and I was so pleased how it turned out, because it seemed like it turned out the way the story was intended or supposed to. But North Carolina is another place that's been so blessed so many, my goodness sake, so many musicians and great singers too, but seems like they have their approach to playing is you can definitely it's distinctive, you know. And then when you're hiring band members, the first question you ask after their name is, are they from North Carolina?
there are a lot of
so gifted over there, and it could be, you know, it could be about any musician who grew up in a home filled
with music,
picking and singing.
Yeah,
exactly right. So
yeah, the recurring,
it's a nostalgic song.
Yeah, the recurring theme is the singers talking about their father and at one point playing the banjo and the music in the family. And we may have talked about that before we went on the air because we just had some things to discuss. But that touched home with me greatly, just that whole lyric of what's involved. And that's another good one. I don't see a bad cut on this whole album.
All that. Thank you. Thank you very much. We, like I say, we put everything we had into it. So, I'm deeply appreciative and very feel blessed that if anybody likes anything on it.
They don't have to like everything, but they might. But they're going to like a lot of it when they hear it. Dale and Braley, I'm so happy to get to chat with you finally, and things work out together.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure talking with you too.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that, and I'll see you. Well, I'm guessing I'll see you in Raleigh if you're going down there in contentions on first. And you'll be down there, will you not?
We are. We're going to be down there. Sister Sadie plays the Red Hat stage.
Oh, okay, good.
I think noon. Yeah, noon on a Saturday, I believe it is.
Well, I'll be there. I'm still a member of the board. I tell people my time is up. I get pardoned out in 18. So I'll be finishing up 4 years. So I say that as a joke. It's been and all these people that I know from the board and serving on the IBMA, and just wonderful people. I just I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You won't find any better people than people associated with bluegrass. I mean, for real.
No, you won't. No. You won't. Well, I'm going to let you get back to your business. Thanks so much, Dale Ann Braley. Brand new album titled Dale Ann Braley on Pinecastle. And there you just heard her discuss all these wonderful stories about it. And, gosh, I appreciate it so much.
Oh, I appreciate you.
All right. Well, I'll let you go. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it, honey.